Hey, Regen, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from PTSD, pornography, alcohol, and this week, selfishness. I don't know about you and where you're at in your recovery, but I found that sometimes in the midst of recovery, it's really easy to become self-absorbed. There's some advantage to looking within and inviting God to meet us in the private spaces of who we are, but there's sometimes a propensity to get stuck in that space. And so I want to ask a simple question tonight, and that is, how can we avoid being self-focused, self-absorbed, self-centered in the midst of recovery? And surprisingly, the answer has everything to do with the freedom that we have in Christ. I think a different way of looking at it is to look at step 12. Here's what step 12 says, regenerate. Step 12 is this: because of our new lives in Christ, we carry God's message of reconciliation to others and practice these principles in every aspect of our lives. In other words, based on the freedom that we have found in Christ, we are now free to go about a lifestyle of serving others. Glad you're here tonight. If it's your first time, welcome. It may not feel like it yet, but I promise you, you've come to the right place. If you are in groundwork, or perhaps you're starting a step group tonight, or maybe you're close to commencing, we've been working through the past several weeks of the biblical basis of each step, and tonight we wrap up that on step 12. And if you have a scripture, have a Bible, let me invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 13 together. Galatians 5, 13. If you need a Bible, come find us at the welcome desk. We'd be happy to give you one. Galatians 5, 13 says this: for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We begin with a statement, and then we get a warning, and we see an opportunity. Here's the statement: you and I, as followers of Jesus, have been called into freedom. It's this idea that when God reaches out and initiates relationship with us and draws himself to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus, you and I receive many benefits. One of them, though, is freedom. And the idea of freedom biblically has many facets to it. We can be free from multiple things. Certainly, we're free from the punishment of sin because we're in Christ. We are free from the power of sin in our life. We are free from future eternal consequences. We're free from some of the difficulties that enslave us now. But in this sense, if you looked and studied the previous chapters of Galatians 4, we're free from the law. Now, what does that mean? When we talk about the law, what we're talking about precisely is the 613, no less, no more, 613 commandments of the Old Testament. We're free from the system of having to obey those laws so that God will approve of us. We don't follow rules so that we become righteous. As a matter of fact, all the law can do is to show us that we need a Savior, that we are sinners, we're incapable of keeping the law, and we desperately need a Savior. His name is Jesus, and he's come for us. So when we talk about being free, what we're talking about is being freed from this lifestyle of doing more and trying harder only to fall short over and over again. You know what that feels like? Have you ever been there? Jesus is the one who came and he perfectly kept all 613 of the Old Testament commandments. He lived the only perfect life that's ever been lived. Then Jesus goes to the cross and he dies in our place as our substitute, as our sacrifice, as the spotless Lamb of God dying for our sin. Then here's the good news. Jesus isn't in a grave today. Jesus isn't somewhere in a tomb. Jesus has risen physically, bodily, from the grave. He's at the right hand of the Father. One day he'll come back and he'll reign forever. And God offers us as a free gift the perfect record of Jesus' obedience. So you and I are made righteous when we receive that gift by faith based on the rules that Jesus kept for us, not on the basis of us keeping rules. So the idea here is you are called for freedom. God accepts you and loves you entirely on the basis of Jesus' performance. Therefore, stand before him in this new righteousness. You have this freedom. You're no longer bound to a system where you're doing more and trying harder and perpetually for failing. You're free. But here's the warning. Look at what this text says again. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, don't use your freedom to indulge in selfishness. I came to faith as a seventh grader. My family was very committed to going to church and was actively involved in the church, went as often it was open, went for worship, went for student ministry, even was in the choir. Truth be told, I was there to meet girls, and it worked. My wife was in the choir, and that's how we met. Maybe a good story. We don't have a choir here very often, do we, at Watermark? So there's other facets for you to explore. Got to college and was involved in campus ministry, was involved in a good church. Then took my first job right out of college. Was married. My wife, Kara, was working at an accounting firm in downtown Dallas, and life suddenly got busy. Was working 6 days a week most of the time. My wife worked retail, so our hours didn't sync up. So Kara would work in the evenings, I'd work in the daytime. Saturdays she would often work, I'd work half the day. And so Sundays were kind of a unique day. One day to sleep in, one day to hang out. And I began to get in the habit of not really participating in the life of the local church. And it was easy to justify, hey, I'm tired. And using the freedom that I now had, I knew I wasn't righteous by keeping the rules. So I knew that I didn't necessarily have to go to participate in the life of the church on Sunday to be right with God. I was right with God on the basis of what Jesus did for me. And it became very easy to use my freedom for selfishness. Now, fortunately, I went to a small church here in the Lake Highlands area, had a pastor at the time who had been my youth pastor growing up, which was kind of tough because he always saw me as 13 years old and I probably behaved that way. And every Monday morning that I didn't go to church on Sunday, I get a phone call. Hey, Dave, where were you? And I began to realize that I was violating the very essence of this concept. I was free because Jesus kept the rules. I no longer had to relate to God by keeping rules in hopes that one day I would be good enough for him to accept me. He accepted me entirely on the basis of Jesus, and all the love and affection he had for Jesus was mine by faith. But I was using that freedom in a very selfish way. Have a question for you tonight. Are you abusing your freedom in selfishness? That's the warning here. Now, let's look at the opportunity. What's the opportunity? The opportunity is that we would use our freedom through love to serve one another. That's incredible. It's this idea that you and I have this new righteous position before God because of Jesus, and we have this new power in us as the Holy Spirit indwells us. And because of this new position and because of this new power, we are overflowing with freedom and love that we can exercise in loving and serving others. I've been in pastoral ministry now for about 30 years, and I have two favorite days of the week. One is Sunday. I love to be with the people of God on Sunday. There's countless opportunities formally and informally to love and serve one another. But you know what my favorite day of the week is now? Monday. I love being here. I love being with you. I love the fact that when I come through these doors, so oftentimes you encourage me, you share me the stories of what God is doing in your life, you pray for me, you even share opportunities for me to pray for you, and I absolutely need this time, and I love this time. Why? Because it's the rightful exercise of our freedom. God set us free not to do just what we want to do. He set us free so that in love, we might serve one another. Second question I have for you tonight is this. Are you using your freedom in service? How are you using your freedom tonight? If you are trusting in Jesus, then you have freedom. You are not right with God on the basis of the way that you keep the rules. You're right on the basis of Jesus perfectly keeping the rules. You have his performance record as a free gift. What are you gonna do with that? Are you gonna take that freedom and abuse it selfishly? Or are you gonna take that freedom and use it in service of others? What can you do? Three things have come to mind. Actually, it's the same thing with three different groups of people. Wherever you are tonight in regeneration, if you're here as a follower of Jesus, you've placed your faith in him, you got a story to tell. Now, it's not a perfect story, is it? It's not even a complete story. It's an incomplete story of progress. My sense is that you're slowly growing in obedience to Jesus, but nonetheless, you have a story to tell, and I want to encourage you that one of the ways you can fulfill and participate in step 10, regenerate, is to share your story with others. Let me give you three different people to think about. Ready? The first one is this. Serve a supporter with your story. Raise your hand tonight if you're here because someone has been supporting you. Raise your hand. All right? Some of us, we have friends, we have family members. If you're in a step group, you have fellow members of your step group. If you're in a step group, you've got two leaders, you've got a coach, there's a staff that work full-time to support regeneration. You are surrounded with people who are pouring into you, who care for you, are with you in this, they're supporting you. You know what we love to hear? We love to hear your story. It doesn't have to be a perfect story, but we love to hear the story of what God is doing in your life. So tell it. I have a dear friend that I served with in a different church. He actually served in the ministry I was leading for years. And about 5 years ago, he called me and he said, Dave, I need to come clean with something. I said, all right, tell me. He said, I've been hiding an addiction to pornography for my whole life. He's about 40 at the time. And he said, I was taking a walk out. It was during the pandemic. I was taking a walk outside. I just had this heavy pressure on my chest. I couldn't breathe anymore. I knew I had to come clean. So I told my wife, I told our pastor of the church, I've been going to counseling. I just wanted you to know, I'm so sorry that I kept this hidden from you for so many years. I prayed with him. I thanked him for calling me. And it was about 6 months later, I got a call. And as many of us know, in experiencing brokenness, my expectation of this call was it was going to be the relapse call, right? Hey, I'm really sorry. I'm back where I was. It wasn't that at all. It was actually a very boring call. I just said, hey, just wanted to check in with you and let you know that things are still moving forward. Love you. Bye. Click. And I thought, that's the best call I've had in 6 months. Those that are supporting you here tonight, those alongside you, those that are leading ministries around you, we absolutely love to hear and are greatly served by your story. Will you serve us by sharing your story? Here's another person you can serve. Serve a struggler with your story. Serve a struggler with your story. Isn't it amazing when you look up and you realize that everyone struggles? Isn't it even more amazing when you realize that God in his providence has brought people into your path that are struggling with the very same thing you're struggling with, and the lessons you're learning are absolutely transferable? And when you come and you share what God is doing in your life, you are not only encouraging yourself, you're giving hope to others. Isn't that an incredible gift? Have you been in that place before where you're struggling with something and the Lord just providentially, sovereignly brings someone across your path who's just a little bit further behind where you are, and you can share in your story candidly what's going on, and they find such hope and encouragement in that? Part of my story and really the origin of my PTSD was my wife and I have four daughters. Between our first and second daughter, we lost a little boy who lived 2 months and 4 days with a heart defect. And after he passed, we were shocked at how many people came up to us in the family of faith who had lost children. And there was just something about being able to share together. There's this fraternity or sorority, however you want to look at it. There's this community of suffering so that we can relate one to one another. We can take the comfort that God has given us in Jesus. We share it with one another and we're mutually strengthened. We're built up and we're encouraged. Would you serve somebody? When you come to group, would you openly share your story? I know it's not complete. I know it's not perfect. I know you, like me, are a work in progress. Would you just honestly share what God is doing in your life? And you will, in fact, be serving others. Last person I want you to think of, I want you to get a specific picture in your mind with a person you may know, and this third person, and that is, will you serve a sinner with your story? We all have people in our lives, maybe some very close relationships of people who don't yet believe in Jesus. I believe that when Jesus moves in your life, he has intentions way beyond you. I believe he's reaching out and he's going to connect ultimately with your network of relationships. Have you ever thought about this? There are no hard cases for Jesus. Jesus loves us and he draws us to himself. And I fully believe that God has put those close relationships in your life because he intends to win them over ultimately. And God has called you to be the spokesperson. Would you share your story with someone who doesn't yet know Jesus? Can I tell you that's why I'm here tonight? I'm here tonight, standing in front of you, experiencing new life in Christ, working through recovery because someone shared their story with my mom. My mom's an alcoholic. and she would binge drink. And she was on her way to a New Year's Eve party years ago, and when she got around alcohol, she couldn't control herself. She would drink to blackout. She was the one who proverbially put the lamp on her head and danced around and made a fool of herself and then threw up on her way out, and she knew that's exactly how that party was going to end that night. So as she entered the front doors of the party, she was already weeping. And there's a woman there who grabbed my mom by the arm, saw her tears, and she said, "Betty, I don't know what you're going through, but my life has really been a mess, but I've met Jesus recently, and I get together with a few other women, and we study the Bible once a week. Would you like to join us?" Through that experience, my mom not only met Jesus, but she became sober. Who will you serve? Yeah, praise God for that. There's someone in your life tonight who doesn't yet know Jesus, and God wants you to share your story so that he may take the good work that he's doing in your life and continue it in someone else's. How will we use our freedom? Will we abuse it in selfishness, or will we use it to love and serve others? That's really the essence of what step 12 is all about. And you can use your story tonight. Tonight, we're gonna hear the story of John Golden, one of our leaders in region. John, would you come forward? And as he does, would you welcome him with me?